This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
Here's an email. Sarah or Vinny at RadioAlice.com. Those are our email addresses. Hey, could the crew please give Drake a shout out at 8:05 on Friday morning? Drake is getting a new belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. On Saturday, may the 4th be with you. Given everything that he's been through, we are super proud of him. It's been a long road and a lot of work. He would really appreciate it. Happy Friday to all of you. Hope you had the best weekend ever. Whoop, whoop.
Drake.
And that's my hope every weekend as I head in. I'm like, I hope this is the best weekend ever. So thank you very much, OFOC, Cappy.
This isn't Ghost in the Whip, Drake.
No, this is the kid. We know about this kid because he's actually been through some medical stuff over the years. And his mom has reached out to us a number of times. And Drake, we're with you. Go get your Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu belt.
Kick ass.
Way to go, Drake.
It's a big deal.
Is it?
Those belts are hard to get to rank up.
Oh, really?
You know, it takes a while, a long time to
Is it the number of hours you put in? Or how,
I don't know how they work. I just know that there's some very advanced people with still relatively low-colored belts, you know?
So a green belt in Jiu-Jitsu might be able to kick a black belt's ass.
Don't get crazy, Sarah.
Quite possibly, yes. I mean, there are, I've seen like a blue belt in my art, in Kuksu Wan would take you 6 months. Mm-hmm. In their art, it might take you 8 years.
Whoa.
You know? Oh, boy.
6 to 8 years. Oh. And they're advanced. I fought a blue belt before, and he kind of whooped my ass.
It
was his art.
What's the difference between Jiu-Jitsu and Kuksu Wan?
Jiu-Jitsu is like a lot on the floor. Kuksu Wan has a lot of that technique too, but they're not always rolling. Jiu-Jitsu has a lot of rolling involved. Like you're literally on the floor rolling.
Grappling. Okay.
And it's really effective.
Yeah.
Super. It's like so.
It's hot too. I think I've watched some Jiu-Jitsu and like the men
I don't
just
know about that, Sarah.
Just but wrapped in their legs around each other
exhausting.
And just rolling around, hugging on the floor. It's really sexy.
They're cuddling and cuddling. Showing affection.
It's like I love when they're down there making love.
Don't forget about the kisses
that's
and the hickeys.
That's what's happening.
Yeah, that's exactly
they're not
good.
Straining with every fiber
of
their being.
They do seem to be. I mean, they're really putting their back into it. I mean, I'm like, wow, that is hardcore love right there.
Yeah, that's sexy time.
Turn on some Mariah Carey and go do some Jiu-Jitsu. You know what I'm saying?
My body rolling on the floor. Right. Yeah, that's what they're doing.
You just ruined it all.
Right.
You're welcome. Anyway, go Jake.
Drake.
Drake.
I'm sure Jake wants to win,
yes,
too.
Jake is also, he's a blue belt. So. Rami Malek did not sing the Queen songs in Bohemian Rhapsody. There was some other guy who came in and did the singing. But in the upcoming Elton John biopic, Rocket Man,
yes, I want to see it.
Which looks good. I've seen a lot of, it looks like a weirdly surreal version of like someone's life story. Like it looks like there's magic in it. Like at one point he's levitating over a crowd and but this guy, Taron Egerton, who is playing him, is he the guy from The Kingsman?
I recognize that name. I don't know where it's from though.
Right. I want to say it's that guy, but I'm not.
Yeah, it is the guy from The Kingsman.
Yeah, he was fine in that movie, and he does sort of take on the Elton John persona, but he did all the singing. And Elton says it was actually important to Elton that this guy would do the singing. Huh. Elton says, I've been astonished with the results.
Nice.
Elton does sing on one track in the movie. It's a duet with this guy, Taron Egerton, called I'm Gonna Love Me Again.
What is this story about? Like, are we going to get the...
Excuse me.
Are we going to get his whole story, or are we going to get some really...
It looks like a pretty stylized
G-rated version of
They're calling it drama/biography, an epic musical fantasy about the uncensored human story of Sir Elton John's breakthrough years.
Yeah, so it's like the late 70s, which is when he was just going bananas.
May 31st.
All right. Oh, boy. That's just the end of this month. So anyway, this guy did do his own singing, apparently.
All right.
That's pretty cool.
What's that?
It's a pretty cool trailer here.
That's a pretty good Elton impersonation.
Cool.
He sounds just like him. Lamar Odom says he still battles the addictions that almost took away his life. You know, he had 12 strokes and 6 heart attacks when he overdosed in 2015. Most doctors thought chances of a full recovery were slim to none. And now he's going to be playing in Ice Cube's Big 3 League, marking his return to pro competition against
NBA. So he's saying he's sober.
He says he's battling his addictions. He's winning the war, plans to fight for as long as it takes. He says, getting high is not on my agenda.
That's great to hear.
It is. He says, when you're an addict, that's something you live with forever, bro. You don't just put that behind you.
But he also was seen in a bar, like, right after he got back from that those strokes.
There have been plenty of things. I think he even went to Easter last year with the with the Kardashian family.
To church?
Yeah. And then, like, an hour later, he was spotted at a bar. So I don't know how long he's been sober, but he wants to try to come back. As for the Big Three, Lamar says that he will be the biggest comeback player of the year.
Okay. I hope it's true.
Hopefully I get nominated for an ESPY, he says. So there you go. What's coming up? Oh, I know what's coming up in the news. Ronnie Chang. Ronnie Chang is coming by. Very exciting. He is going to be at Cobb's tonight and tomorrow night, and we'll get to hang out with him in just a second.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Lots of excitement around the office this morning.
Mm-hmm.
As we are about to welcome for the first time to the Alice studio, Ronnie Chang.
Woo!
Bring that guy in here! Ronnie!
Hey!
Thanks for having me, man. Oh, so I'm super excited to meet you.
I'm very excited to be in San Francisco.
Are you?
Yeah.
This can't possibly be your first time.
Second time now.
Oh,
birth
boy.
Birthplace of Trams, of Bruce Lee, of...
Did you say of Trams?
Bubba Guys, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, love you guys. Thanks for having me in. Always love coming down here. Great city, beautiful weather, you know, world-class baseball stadium next to the water. I don't think you guys know how good you guys got it, honestly. Great seafood.
Mm.
Yo, seafood.
You don't have to sell the place to us, man. Seriously.
Yeah,
you know what I'm realizing is that I don't think I've ever not seen you in a suit.
Really?
Well, yeah.
The first time today.
Oh, really? This is just dressing down just for the first time today.
Yeah, I've been having allergies and.
Is that what it is? You poor thing. We are having a terrible season with all the rain we've had.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I was ODing on antihistamines yesterday. I still couldn't get rid of it. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, maybe something more serious.
Yeah.
I mean,
it could be a flu or something.
Oh, great! Thanks for bringing it in, man.
Yeah, I've been
nice to meet you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I've been on the road for a little bit, so I think it's catching up to me.
Yeah. What is your schedule like? I mean, I know you from The Daily Show, I got to say that every time you're on, I'm always like, John, my husband, John Ronnie's on.
John,
you're
going
to want to see this. He comes running in.
Sounds like my mom. Yeah, he's on now. Yep.
Oh, they must be so proud of you.
Oh, parents?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, there you are on TV all the time.
Yeah, I don't think they know. They don't live in America.
Oh, but you must.
Yeah, so I don't know if they know.
Will you stop it? Of course they know. You have a whole thing about your dad, and you're just trying to make him proud.
What was that?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's hidden?
Yeah. He doesn't have Comedy Central, so he can't watch the show.
That is too bad.
They don't live in America, and they... They don't have Comedy Central, so they just watch clips online.
They do.
Yeah, and I don't send it to them. I let them find it on their own, so it doesn't look like I'm trying to pump myself up.
Oh, and the, within the family.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? The one, they're the only people you can really brag to. You know that, right?
So they find it organically. That way I have plausible deniability. Mm-hmm. If they don't like it, I'm like, well, I didn't send it to you. So.
I didn't say you should watch that.
I didn't say you should watch. I didn't say it was good. Yeah,
right.
So. Did you come up through stand-up and then and try out to get on the show? Or
So my primary thing is... continues to be stand-up comedy, and how they got me on the show was I was doing a show with Trevor Noah in, I think it was 2013 at Just for Laughs in Montreal.
And before then, he got picked to...
Yeah, yeah, 2 years before he got picked. And
wow.
Then,
so you guys just hit it off and...
Yeah, we hit it off, but I mean, we didn't even exchange numbers or anything. Like, we didn't talk for 2 years. And then when he got the show, they asked me to audition for the show, and it was basically him. He promoted me to... He was like pushing me to the other people. He forced me on. No one wanted me.
He shoehorned
me on. But he had the foresight to want a Asian person on the show to speak for this population of people. So he empowered, you know, this whole group of people to have a voice on the show. I happened to be lucky enough to be the outlet. But if it wasn't me, I'd still be psyched that this guy was willing to do that. He didn't need to do that. He's not he's a little secret. He's not Asian. He's also not he only did that because he felt the need to give these people a voice. So, you know,
it's a pretty diverse cast now I think about it.
Yeah, I know we got all the bases covered now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Everything in between.
I don't think you have a Native American on there.
Native American.
I think
Roy's like 1/10.
Oh, really? Yeah. Roy is?
Yeah.
I've noticed that you spent some time living in New Hampshire.
Yeah, when I was a kid, yeah.
Manchester, so were your parents... you lived in Manchester?
Yeah.
I'm from Boston originally, so it's funny because we always called you guys, you know, the Cow Hampshire people.
Well, yeah, we went there for college. We went to New Hampshire for college. So.
Oh, I thought you went to college in Australia.
As in my parents went there for college.
Oh, so, your parents did?
Yeah, yeah. My parents went to New Hampshire for college in their late 30s with two kids. They went to college for the first time in America for the first time. And then they...
How old were you guys?
I was like 3 years old.
Wow.
But then we were good immigrants because after they graduated, we went back to Malaysia. So we left afterwards. We didn't take jobs. We just studied. We got out. We got out
that
degrees.
That makes you a good immigrant.
We paid, and then we left.
All right.
So, yeah. Now you're back here.
Now we're back. Yeah, taking all the jobs. Yeah. It took me 20 years to get back here, but I'm taking all of them. No?
Right. So, yeah, and you're saying that your schedule is, I think, don't you guys work 5 weeks on, 1 week off?
No. We go. We got shows Monday to Thursday, every day. So our schedule is just every day.
And then you're able to take off on the weekends.
Yeah, on weekends I come out and do stand-up. Yeah, at night I do stand-up at night. I go daytime's daily show. We tape the show, and then at night I go do stand-up around New York.
Just in New York.
In New York, yeah. And then on weekends I tour. Yeah.
So that's a grind.
Yeah, it's a grind, but man, it's the best. I get to visit great American cities. Yeah. I get to do stand-up comedy, which is... the best.
Experience the histamines.
Yeah, experience the histamine, everything. I love the histamines about the road, everything. Morning radio. It's awesome, man. This is like...
So do you actually enjoy getting up early and doing the morning radio tour? Because that's a grind.
I mean, you guys would know. It's a freaking grind. I used to do radio in Australia.
Oh, really?
So I know it's a grind, yeah.
Yeah.
Taking all your good ideas and trying to put it on radio, you know.
Right, just try to and come up with something every single day.
Yeah, I know. It's tough, man. Respect to you guys.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Appreciate it very much.
I love doing it because it's part of the game. It's part of what, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, meeting the local radio host.
Part of the job.
Yeah, and talking about, and if I feel, every time I talk to a local radio host, I feel like I'm talking to the entire city. I get like a, I get like a good, you know.
That's actually a really nice thing to say.
No, don't you?
That's sweet. Well, we have the best listeners for sure.
No, I can tell. Yeah. I can tell by your font.
Oh, yeah. Like no, it's like a very friendly font.
Yeah.
It's Alice, everywhere.
Yo, the Alice font, like, you can tell a lot from the kind of people who listen. Yeah. It's not like, it's not heavy metal.
No.
It's not like,
no.
yeah. Not that heavy metal people are bad people.
But it's not like ABCs, you know.
It's, yeah, it's not like, kiddie. It's like,
right.
It's, everything's appropriate.
It is grown-ups.
Yeah, grown-ups. Grown-ups just, but chill. Chill grown-ups.
Right. Oh, funny.
Who, yeah, who aren't like, you know.
Look at you profiling our
listeners. I know, just totally, yeah, font profiling.
Mm-hmm.
you can't swear on this thing, right?
Almost, you cannot. Yeah. I'm sorry,
oh my God. I guess I caught myself just now. I almost said pieces of whatever, but yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, I'm really glad that you restrained yourself. It is Friday, and we hate meetings. So it's fantastic.
But I know how this was. There's a dump button back there. I can say whatever
there,
I want.
There is. Actually, we all have dump buttons, yeah, just in case somebody else misses it.
You
look
guys
at you knowing all the ins and outs.
I know. You guys want an adrenaline rush right now?
Yeah.
No.
I do want one.
We do not.
No,
what
don't.
Are you, nuts?
You're right. I didn't realize. I thought he was going to, like, you know, do it like a midair somersault or something.
I can drop some bombs right now. We can
all
panic.
So with your parents and their story.
Yeah.
And they came up working really hard, it sounds like, with kids and going
in
to school.
Yeah,
and when you said, I'm going to become a stand-up comedian, how did that go over? And was there someone that you sort of looked at that you went, that's why?
No, I didn't tell them.
Oh.
I just wanted to go do it. I didn't tell them. Yeah.
So
they still don't know. They still don't know
what the hell.
Yeah.
Just stop it. So
The truth is, I didn't tell them. And by the time they found out, it was too late. I was, like, too far into the game.
Right.
And you were doing well, so it was okay.
I was doing okay, yeah. In Australia, I was doing okay. Yeah. And I think...
Is there a huge comedy scene there?
In Australia?
Yeah.
Like,
we know
that's
Arch Barker.
Eddie flies
yeah,
there.
Great.
If? Eddie If?
Eddie If, yeah.
Dude.
Oh, you know Eddie?
I know all those guys.
Long-time friend of the show.
Yeah.
We love Eddie.
Eddie's great. I met him in Australia. Arch Barker is the same friend, dude. And mm-hmm. I play poker in his house in Australia. That guy.
Oh.
Yeah, I know all those dudes. It's a huge comedy scene in Australia. I started out there. I started there 10 years, almost to the day, March 2009.
Is that true?
Yeah, yeah.
So you just decided to do it, or you'd always been funny, or like...
Yeah, I just decided I couldn't get a job. So I was doing stand-up comedy. It was the global financial crisis, and baby boomers destroyed the global financial economy.
Yeah,
and
thanks
I was
a lot, Mama
coming
Jen.
Out of... I was coming out of...
Dig.
Yeah. I was coming out of law. Yeah, everyone's complaining about millennials. Like, what the hell did millennials ever do? What did millennials... They took a couple of selfies. All they did was take some selfies. Everyone's complaining. Mm. Like, they destroyed the world. No, baby boomers literally destroyed the world.
And continue.
And continue to. And now, you know, it's just ridiculous. Anyway. I'm not even millennial.
Right.
I'm in between.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I can see both. I'm like... Born in 85, so what, I'm in between millennial and Y.
Oh, is Y the one after Gen X?
Y and then millennial, yeah.
Okay.
I'm just before millennial.
You're so, cusp.
So, yeah, I'm objectively speaking here. I'm not even trying to defend myself. There's stuff I don't get about them, but hey, what the hell did they do? Look at you guys, man. You guys, you know, talk about personal responsibility.
We're not baby boomers.
I know.
We're Gen X. Don't you look at me?
No,
you're looking right at me when you said that.
I meant you guys.
Like, you think I'm the one who broke the financial system. It wasn't me.
My mistake for making eye contact. I'm sorry.
Don't make that mistake again.
Very, very, very sensitive issue here, the global financial crisis.
Clearly.
Yeah, so I didn't tell them. I just went to go do it. And then...
but it worked out. Obviously, you found your footing pretty quickly there. And
yeah, I was okay. I rolled the dice. It came out. It usually comes out in my favor, the stand-up comedy. So I got lucky. Yeah, I got lucky with it.
Well, but you did. I mean, you say you got lucky, and I get that. There's some timing and stuff. But you also did a set.
Right.
Left there, probably bummed that it didn't go as well as you hoped it would. I mean, I can't help but like beat yourself up over stuff like that. And then you went back. Like... And
oh,
did
yeah.
it again.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you worked hard. You grinded
take the hits.
That, right?
Yeah, you take
did
the
you
hits,
bomb
yeah.
your first time?
No, my first time I was awesome.
Oh,
first,
well,
time,
you okay.
first time I won this competition.
What?
Yeah,
your
then,
first time on stage, you won a competition?
Yeah, and then.
So you're just kidding. You didn't just decide to do comedy. You'd always been funny and you'd been working on some stuff.
No, I didn't think of doing it. I just did it that one. Like, every year I would sign up for this comedy competition at my university, University of Melbourne, shout out. And then. every year I would chicken out the night before. And then my last year of university, I was like, okay, now or never. So I just signed up, and then I did it the next day.
And you won the University of Melbourne.
And then
after chickening out year after year.
Yeah, yeah. And then I won that competition.
You could have gotten out of law school so much earlier.
Yeah, I know. And then the next show I did, I bombed. So there you go.
Well,
that's ups and downs.
There's just no way you can avoid it. Yeah. Even the best guys, they go through tough. And even if you do well, it doesn't matter what you do. Even if you do well, you're like, oh, I missed that one thing, right? Didn't.
Man, you're so into. You got a lot of comic friends. You watch a lot of comedy.
I have comic friends, but we do it here. You leave here sometimes. You're just like, oh God, I was awful today.
Why did I say that? I just want to not go back.
Yeah, but you know that's the thing about live performing. I think people don't appreciate enough. It's like the variables that you know take place in live performing. If you're a paying audience member, you shouldn't have to care about that. I'm not saying that you should be conscious. Mm-hmm. You should come to a show and it should be good. You know, as professional performers, we should be able to deliver. You know, but it's like sometimes you just have a bad game.
Right.
You just have a bad game. Like, it's no one's fault. You know, like, you did stuff that works all the time and now it just didn't work. You know, maybe some audience members being weird, you know, whatever, the lighting's off. You just have a bad game. It's just like in sports. And then you beat yourself up, like you said. But
Vinny has a fascination with it. I mean, you've talked at length about, like, just how hard it is. Like, what we do, we're really in a room with a few friends and, you know, we're super comfortable and it's day in, day out. But getting up on stage and standing there with a spotlight on you and a crowd going,
sure.
Go.
It's the highest. It's one of the highest arts, in my opinion.
That's very kind of you. It is very difficult. I think everyone's job has its difficulties. So I'm not going to put it on a pedestal.
Right.
I mean, you guys are also being very modest. You guys grind it out every day. This isn't easy. You guys make it look easy because you're good. I know I tried to do this in Australia. So I get it. Everyone's job is very difficult. But yeah, that's very kind. Thanks for appreciating.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. I think it takes like creators to appreciate that stuff. I mean, if you don't make stuff, how can you ever have perspective into what it takes? You know, how can you critique without creating?
Right.
If you ever notice, people who make stuff, you never like crap on someone else's thing, even if you don't like it, because you appreciate the effort that went behind it.
Right.
You
know, or these freaking critics out there.
Yeah, dude. Come to the show, you hear all about it.
Yeah.
Come to my Sam show. I do like 50 minutes on it. Yeah. So I mean, that's the thing. If people who make stuff, we understand the amount of, you know, to open a restaurant, the amount of risk it takes, you know, the money, the profit margins are slim, you know, and someone to come in and, you know, just go, the forks didn't come quick enough. It was like, whoa, dude, you know, there's no concept anymore.
Right. Way to reduce it down to
this thing that wasn't even a, you know, it's just weird now, society. But yeah, you know, that's part of it, is being able to take the hits, I guess.
Well, welcome back to San Francisco.
It
is awesome to meet you. I know you have a full schedule this morning, so we'll let you go. Yeah. But
before you leave, please, let me just ask you, so what do you have coming up that you're, like, are you doing films? What can we look for coming up?
Thanks so much. This stand-up tour is actually a rescheduled one from January. This was actually wasn't supposed to be one of my last dates on this tour. It's ended up becoming one of my last dates. So I've been on the road for a little bit, so I'm kind of like wrapping this one up. I got obviously on The Daily Show. I have this cameo in a movie which I can't really, I don't think I'm supposed to talk about, but let's just say look out for the next sequel to a Japanese monster trying to destroy the city.
I'm actually already looking forward to that one. You just have a little cameo in that?
Keep an eye out in Chinatown for a certain shopkeeper who is pushing the plot line forward. Yeah, that's all right.
Excellent.
Ronnie Chang is awesome to meet you. Thank you so much for being here. Enjoy your time in San Francisco.
Thank you.
He's at Cobb's Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.